Blog Talk Radio.
Rook Shum, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live from Emery County, Utah. We are going to be doing another episode. This is episode 53 of Fundamentally Mormon, or I am your Mormon fundamentalist friend, who you can find these live videos on Facebook at my Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977, or by searching Mark Lichtenwalter. You can also find the YouTube by going to youtube.com/user/GodIsMyCompass, and that is my channel, Messiah Ben Joseph. You can also find that by typing in Messiah Ben Joseph, or by going to, searching for my name, Mark Lichtenwalter. Also, this episode is called Lost Books of the Bible, Chapter 5 of As It Is Translated Correctly, Part 1. The guest call-in number is, 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. If you are going to be commuting and you're listening on the phone, you can listen. I can have up to 100 callers listening on the phone lines. If I'm done and I have time, I can take questions, but if you want to come on the air, you must dial 1, and that'll put a question mark up on the studio, and I'll be able to see it. So, all right, so let's just get right into this. I haven't been on for a little while. We have had a crazy, crazy paycheck. Between my semi-truck breaking down and being in the shop for almost 2 weeks, and then having to drive this spare truck that is having all kinds of problems, I have had 2 vehicles. We have 3 now. Big 15-passenger van, which decided it needed a new battery and would not start to save your life. Couldn't even hardly jump it. And then let's see, I had 1 headlight go out in my other van, and I didn't have the money to replace the headlight because we were broke. And then before I got paid again, the other headlight went out, and I couldn't go to work because I need headlights to go to work, especially to come home at 5:30 in the morning, because I'm a semi-truck driver, but I drive, my truck, I park my truck 20-something miles away from where I live. And at 5:30 in the morning, you need headlights. Couldn't go to work. Anyway, and then let's see what else happened. It was the minivan was misfiring, and this is the vehicle my wife went to school with, and she is actually a teacher, kindergarten teacher. She's really great at her job, and the kids need her. So anyway, so she could go to work because she doesn't leave till 6:30 and the sun's starting to come up a little bit, you know. So anyway, but the vehicle was misfiring. I replaced the plugs and the wires. It was still misfiring. I replaced the coil, distributor cap, whatever they call it, and it worked finally. And then the thermostat decided it didn't want to open and she overheated the car. So I replaced the thermostat, and when I went to put water in it, I poured water down into the radiator, and it just spilled out the side of the radiator where the radiator decided to come apart because there was a big hole in it. Oh, so anyway, got her towed over to the shop, and then the next day I spent all day on the phone with a dealership, Lobook Sells, up in Linden, Utah. I actually really like the owner of that place. Back when I worked for Atlas Van Lines back in 1999, I helped him move from his $2 million house. It was a house, really nice house, to his $4 million gated community house in Sandy. And he tried to actually get me he wanted me to be his truck driver because he had just bought a semi-truck with a car hauler. And what my job would have been was to go down to Arizona to the auto auction and get the vehicles that his salesman, bought and then transport them up. Well, I told him I've never transported automobiles, and he needed to find somebody else to do that because, like, he didn't have anyone to train me because I would have been his only truck driver. Anyway, but I've always really liked him. I've really liked that company. So I went there, and we were able to get an auto loan, which is kind of funny because I haven't had a loan in years. And since I haven't used my credit in years, I didn't have a credit score. I had no credit. It was like he said it was at zero, and I thought, well, I guess if if you don't use your credit, you don't have credit. So anyway, but things have just been a crazy mess. And then I wasn't up to where I needed to be on my own, how much I was making, because I had all these days when I worked half a day, I only did two or three runs, and I was way behind schedule. So like the last couple of days, I've been working 13 to 14-hour days to actually get my paycheck up to where it needs to be, which didn't quite happen, but we made just enough. I'm just right there, so it's good. Anyway, so I took last night off. I worked through the weekend. I worked through Shabbat. I hate doing that, but sometimes that's what needs to happen. So anyway, but I've neglected these radio programs and, videos because of that. And I'm sorry. I wish I could just spend every day, all day doing this. I do study every day, but it's a lot of times I'm watching lectures and listening to stuff while I'm driving my semi truck. So I just haven't had time to do these videos. But let's get into it. This next paycheck, I will be paying for for the service of doing an hour to 2 hours a day, sometimes up to three if I feel like it. But I think I want to keep these radio programs shorter, like an hour. Instead of 30 to 45 minutes, maybe an hour to an hour and a half. So we're also going to be having Eugene Richardson and Jonathan. I can't remember his last name. I should know it, but they're going to be coming on Fridays and Saturdays, possibly one or the other, maybe Sunday. I don't know. We'll have to work that schedule out, and they'll be talking about what they want to talk about. So, which I've extended them the opportunity to be part of this radio program. So, and I don't agree with Eugene all the time. If anybody has ever listened to the Kingdom of God or Nothing radio programs that we used to do, Eugene and I would argue about things, but it was fun. I mean, it wasn't contentious. There were some that would be contentious, but I think that Eugene's message is valuable, and even though I don't believe everything he has to say, and I don't agree with everything he has to say, I believe that God calls people, and that that I want to look for truth wherever I can find it, even if I don't agree with everything that that person has to say. So anyway, but let's get into this. This is, as it is translated correctly, chapter 5, the lost books of the Bible. Although we have 66 books in our Bible, there are many others that are missing, some of which are mentioned in the existing scriptures, but no one seems to know what happened to them or why they are not included as part of the Bible. Many of these lost books are reported to be the words of God to some of his faithful prophets and patriarchs. So we must conclude that they are of great worth and would qualify to be considered scripture. It can also be concluded that there are many other missing books, although inspired, not mentioned in the Bible. It is previous that wars, migrations, poor materials, persecutions, and other pitfalls could have taken a great toll on many, many sacred and important texts of God's revelation to his prophets. As explained by one scholar, the Jews have been at sometimes careless and negligent, and at other times profane. They suffered some of the sacred books to be lost through their carelessness and have burnt and destroyed others. End quote. Saint Chrysostom, as quoted by Simon's Critical History of the New Testament, end quote. So, like, and this is like something that happened, and it even talks about this. Josiah, the King Josiah, actually, his high priest found the book of the law of the Lord hidden in the temple, and they didn't even have it. You know, the Jewish nation did not have their own books. They didn't know where the Torah or the Pentateuch in Greek, whatever. They didn't know where it was, and they found it. You know, and there's other books that revelations from God's prophets that maybe, well, it's like Tovia Singer says. Tovia Singer is a rabbi in Malaysia. He's actually the Rebbe from Malaysia, and he is not a Christian. He is part of Jews for Judaism, and he drives me absolutely nuts. But he does say things that I do like, and I do listen to him. And I listen to Michael Sobeck and others, and I really enjoy what they have to say, even though they don't accept Yeshua or Jesus as their Messiah. I still do learn from them. And Tovia talks about how there have been millions of prophets, and God has given them revelation, and they have written it down, but it may not have been for everyone. It was for them or their community at the time. And, you know, God would, according to Moshe or Moses in Devarim or Deuteronomy, God wants all of his children to be prophets, you know. And so there are many books and many revelations that we don't have. And some ecumenical council in 295 that decided what the books should be in the Bible, they weren't prophets. You know, this is after Constantine had hijacked the church, and this is where we get our current Bible today. So, and it's unfortunate, but it's the truth. Anyway, but so the 66 books of the Bible are not the only books that God has given that are for prophecy and for edification of his children. Anyway, continuing, the perils of book burning have not been confined to the dark ages of Christianity, but have apparently taken their toll since the beginning of mankind. Below are some of the listed books and references showing that they could or should have been included in the Bible. We're on page 54 of As It Is Translated Correctly, Lost Books of the Bible, Chapter 5. The prophecy of Enoch, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all," etc. Jude chapter 1, verse 14. So it's talked about in Jude about the book of Enoch, which we actually have three different versions of that book. We also have 2 Enoch and 3 Enoch as well. Of course, you've got to be careful, because sometimes people like, you know, have you ever heard of fan fiction? Sometimes people like write fan fiction for the scriptures. So while I may not exactly accept all of Enoch or Enoch book 2 or Enoch book 3, I still want to see what it has to say. And if there is truth in it, and I believe it, and I want to accept that truth, I need to study it out the best of my ability, like I've said before, and I need to ask God if it's true. And if it is true, the principle, line upon line, precept upon precept, we take it to the Lord, and we find out if it's true, and then God confirms it by a witness of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, continuing on, scripture before Abraham, the modern Christian would think that Moshe was the first prophet to write scripture or to write the law of the gospel among men. And I don't agree with that. Moshe received a restoration. Adam had God's law before him. And we see evidence of this in the scripture. But because of the captivity in Mitzrayim or Egypt, the people had to have a restoration, and that's where Moses, he was a restorational prophet. And he gave them the law, or the Torah, or the instructions of Jehovah. So anyway, however, Shaul, or Paul, understood differently when he said, quote, "And the scripture foreseeing that God, or Jehovah, would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham." Abraham, the great, great prophet Abraham, received the gospel before Yeshua was ever on the earth. So, you know, and he received the instructions. That's according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. From this, it is evident that someone wrote scripture before Abraham's time. When Abraham read them and believed that the gospel, he was convinced that God or Jehovah would justify the heathen through faith. So maybe it was Shem, the great high priest, the Melchizedek or Melchizedek of God, who had it. Maybe it was Noah who brought it through the flood. I want to say something also concerning Melchizedek or the Melchizedek, the high priest, the king and the priest. According to the book of Japheth, it was Shem. In the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, when it talks about the high priest or Melchizedek having neither father nor mother, nor beginning or ending, this is a mistranslation. It was not Melchizedek a person. It is the great order of the Melchizedek priesthood, which has neither father nor mother, nor beginning or end of days. This is God's high priesthood, the power by which he works, the power by which he gives the prophets to work in his behalf. Enoch, Elijah, Abraham, Yeshua, Jesus himself, and others, including myself, have had or do have this priesthood. It is the priesthood by which the elements are commanded. It is the priesthood by which people are healed. They can be healed by faith or through the priesthood. It is the acting principle upon which God's kingdom rests, his power, his authority. Melchizedek was a person. He was the high priest and the king after the flood, and his name was Shem, and he was a son of Noah, Noe. So I know a lot of people think, well, Jesus came and he incarnated into the flesh and he was like walking around and doing all... I'm sorry, this is speculation. It is not revelation, and it is wrong. And I know that it's wrong because I know by revelation the truth about this matter. But anyway, continuing. Samuel's own book, then Samuel, told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 25. This is Samuel's record of the kingdom, and it would have been a very interesting and revealing book. Shemaiah, the prophet, the book of Iddo, the seer, now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are not they written in the book of Shemaiah, the prophet, and of Iddo, the seer, concerning genealogies? This scripture, which talks about this other book, is written in Second Chronicles chapter 12, verse 15. We're on page 55. This book of Shemaiah is one of the books of the prophets. When were the writings of the prophet considered unworthy of being, or let's see, hold on. When were the writings of the prophet considered unworthy of being kept? Is not every revelation through one prophet just as important as another prophet? This book undoubtedly contained many important things pertaining to the genealogies, a subject so confusing and troublesome to the Protestant ministers today. The book of Nathan, the prophet, of Ajah, the vision of Iddo the seer, now the rest of the Acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet and in the prophecy of Ajah the Shilonite and in the vision of Iddo the seer against Jeroboam, the son of Nabab? That scripture can be found in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 29. See, these are books in the Bible that are talked about that we don't have today. Okay, God's word is not limited to what is in the 66 books of your Old and New Testament, or your Tanakh if you're a Jew. These books must show or explain many things recorded from prophecy and in visions. They were probably very important and sacred, perhaps more so than any other books of the Bible. And let me just say, And we're going to get into this in the King into the Dead Sea Scrolls. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, there were many books that we don't have as well, and they are awesome, but they were lost. Continuing, the Book of Samuel the Seer, the Book of Nathan the Prophet, the Book of Gad the Seer, now the Acts of David the King, first and last, behold, they are written in the Book of Samuel the Seer, and in the Book of Nathan the Prophet, and in the Book of Gad the Seer. You can find that reference in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 29. 3,000 proverbs of Solomon, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. Obviously, we have only a small portion of the Proverbs of Solomon. If some of them were worthy of becoming scripture, why not all of them? It is evident that they have been lost, even though they would have been a great completion to the rest of his Proverbs. Page 56. Another epistle to Paul, the writings to the Corinthians, Paul wrote in his first epistle to the Corinthians, quote, I wrote you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. And he's talking about this book or this epistle that he wrote to the Corinthians in the book that we call 1 Corinthians, which should be called 2, because there was an epistle or a letter before that book was around, you know. But we find that recorded in our version of the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, the Epistle of Corinthians, First Epistle, chapter 5, verse 9. From this we know that his first epistle to them was actually his second letter. This epistle was undoubtedly just as important as the other two, but it has been lost. An epistle to the Laodiceans, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. We find this epistle mentioned in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 16. The epistle of Colossians and the epistle to the Laodiceans were both important, since Paul wanted them both to be read to the congregation. We have only the letter of the Colossians. Therefore, the epistle to the Laodiceans is one of the missing scriptures. Second epistle to the Ephesians. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge of the mysteries of Christ. That's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Paul, or Shaul, alludes to another epistle to the Ephesians in which he mentions a revelation that he had received from Jehovah, or God. Would not that revelation be as important as other revelations that he had received, or as important as any revelation to the other apostles? Another epistle of Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And that's mentioned in Jude chapter 3, on page 57, of as it is translated correctly, which you can read for free online at ogdenkraut.com. You can also find this. I will post this with the text and the radio show and the video at Zion's Redemption Bookstore, which is where I post all of these, the text with the video and the link to the radio show. So next week, I think it is, within the next 2 weeks, I hope to be able to get this into a podcast format so people can listen on iTunes as well. Since we have only one epistle of Jude, wouldn't the other one concerning the common salvation be just as important as this one? The I know what this word is. It's one of those Greek words that gets twisted around in my mouth. Let me see if I can say it. The pseudepigrapha Another group of manuscripts written between the years 200 BC and 100 AD has been found in recent years. They consist of seven books covering a range of subjects from the creation to the Christian era. They have been published under the title of the Forgotten Books of Eden. These manuscripts have been found in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, some handed down, while others were found in archaeological excavations. Some copies have variations from other manuscripts, but their messages are similar. A small summary statement about each of these books is included here. The Book of Adam and Eve. The story begins after the expulsion from paradise and involves a variety of legends and religious concepts. It gives a very positive emphasis on the resurrection and the final judgment. The Book of Secrets of Enoch. This is a collection of psalms, histories, and quotations from Enoch. The Odes of Solomon. Shlomo. I love his name in Hebrew. His name in Hebrew is Shlomo, not Solomon. Love it. Like, why did they have to, like, make everything, change all the names of all these people? Like, Yeshua. Like, his name, Yeshua, was never Jesus. There's no J sounds in the Hebrew alphabet, you know. But in Latin, it was Jesus. You know, like, why do they got to change it? Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, was a Jew. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but he obeyed his father's law and the law that he himself gave as a premortal being at Mount Sinai. So anyway, continuing. All right. The Odes of Solomon. This is an early Christian compilation first published in 1909 and is mostly a book of poetry with mainly beautiful expressions of reverence, love, etc. The Letter of Asterius. This was written by a Hellenized Greek Jew living in Egypt, probably Alexandria. It gives some light on how the Septuagint manuscripts of the Bible came to be written. Page 58. The fourth book of Maccabees. I love the books of Maccabees. Awesome. Anyway, this covers the events of the Syrian persecution of the Jews and the Maccabean revolt. It concerns the ability to deal with and conquer the passions. The story of Achar. I know it's Achar. This probably is the earliest manuscript of the collection. It was first found among some Aramaic papyri dating back to the 5th century BC on the island of Elephantine, in the Nile. It is a collection of both Jewish and pagan lore and gives much credence to homage to honorable earthly rulers, a tenet objectionable to the Jewish community, who insists that only homage to Jehovah will bear merit. Testaments of the 12 patriarchs. This is much. Let me just say real quick. Okay. But on the radio show, which only has 90 seconds less, actually, 60 seconds of live streaming, I can go for another 15 minutes after that. It doesn't affect the video broadcast, but if anybody is listening, you can either go to the YouTube channel or to the Facebook to watch the live streams. You can also call in. The call-in guest number, which you have to do before the end of this live streaming portion of the radio program, is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And if you want to listen, don't push 1, because if you push 1, a little question mark or exclamation mark will come up on the studio board that I am watching, and I will call on you if I have time to be on the radio program and ask your questions or make your comments. You got 10 seconds to call 917-889-8827. So next week, things will be a little bit different when I finally do start paying for this full service, which costs me about $40 a month. And it's a little expensive for me, but it's not so bad. I mean, I'll take that out of the tithing that I need to be paying to Jehovah anyway. So I'll split the tithing up between my tithing between things that I feel God wants me to help other people out with, and also my radio program and the things that I need to do as a minister of God, as a prophet. And I am a prophet. And God wants all of us to be prophets. And I don't like to, it's a strange thing about being a prophet. Like when God showed me so many things, and when I had my experience with him and with Yeshua, which I have seen them face to face and embraced them in the flesh, I was so happy. I mean, like when you're in the presence of God, whether it be in a vision or a dream or actually in their physical presence, which I have been in, like it is so full of love, and it just, it's overwhelming, and I love it, and it makes me, sometimes it makes it, especially immediately, the years afterwards, like I just want to be with them. I don't want to be on earth, but and I used to keep this to myself. In fact, I should post a video, like an old video, over 10 years old, of me talking about this person that I know that has had this experience, because I didn't want to talk about it as though I have had it myself, because it was too sacred to talk about, I thought, right? Until in 2013, God told me to be very bold with my witness of him, so now I am. But when God started asking me to do certain things like proclaim truth, and speak to the heir of the Ephraimites, it got me excommunicated. It got me kicked out of the church. I lost many, many friends. Family members blocked me on Facebook and wouldn't talk to me, And there was a price to pay, and I hate it. I hate that, because I had this large community of friends, which all rejected me when I started speaking what God wanted me to speak. And now I've got people all over the world who wanna say, things about me that don't even know me. I've had death threats, within my community here in Emory County. I mean, you can't hide the beard, okay? I'm a truck driver. If you're out there driving, you see a guy driving a big semi-truck with a red beard, it's me. I can't hide, okay? When I'm in the passenger seat of my wife's van, she's driving down the road, I got guys waving at me all the time. They call me Red Beard, they call me Grave Digger, and they call me Little Frankie. And, everybody knows who I am. I've got rumors about me spreading up into Carbon County, where I go to church at a non-denominational Pentecostal church. I get a little kick out of them saying they're Pentecostals, but I enjoy going to church with them. I enjoy the love that they have for others in the community and their desire to help others out. And it's really a good church, Trinity Christian. Anyway, but, a lot of people want to slander who I am because of my witness. And they'll call me a false prophet so people won't listen to me. But what I have to say is, a lot of the stuff that I'm teaching, besides my own personal revelations and witnesses, was already written down. It's already truth that has been had, that has been accepted by many of the people in this community. And when I talk about things that they don't like, they will slander me and call me a false prophet, so nobody will listen to me. And it upsets me a little bit, just because I hear things all the time from friends in the community who hear other people talking about me, and I hate it. And so, in one sense, I'm very happy that I've had the experiences that I've had with God. But I dislike the fact that he's asked me to do some of these things that he's asked me to do. And Like, I really know what it feels like to be somebody like Jeremiah or Jeremiah or Isaiah or any of these people that God has asked people to go among. You know, he's asked these prophets to go among and warn these people and teach these people, and they don't want to listen. And so if you could just pray for me and pray for my family, like, I struggle with this all the time. I know what God has asked me to do, and sometimes I just don't want to do it because I'm tired of the harassment, right? But my desire is to teach, and my desire is to help a people to learn to get revelation for themselves. God is no respecter of persons. God wants to reveal truth to all of us, and it is us through our own misinterpretation of Scripture and our own false traditions that we damn ourselves from knowledge and from progression. So anyway, I don't know why I went off on that topic, but we've only got like 9 minutes left on this, so I'm going to get as far as I can in the reading. The 12 patriarchs. This is of much interest because it contains early Christian attempts to rewrite Jewish tracts. One thing that I hate about early Christians is their desire to rewrite the Tanakh, the Old Testament scriptures. It drives me nuts. And when all these Christians want to go and say, well, in the Septuagint, let me tell you something about the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. That's the Septuagint. When you go to the Septuagint and you start quoting Isaiah and Jeremiah and all these other prophets, I'm sorry, that it was also called the Pentateuch, which was written by unknown authors after the Christian era began. You cannot prove anything by going to the Pentateuch, or the Septuagint, and quoting from the prophets. The Nevi'im and the Ketuvim were not in the Septuagint. It was just the Torah or the five books of Moses. Later translations after the Christian era were also called the Septuagint, but they were Christian attempt to prove that Jesus or Yeshua is all over the Old Testament. And you know what I believe he is? But it is dishonest for the Christians to use the Septuagint to prove Isaiah. Because let me tell you something. The Septuagint that was written by the Hellenized Jews back around the time of the Maccabees was the five books of Moses, period. Not the Ketuvim or the Nevi'im. Not the writings or the prophets, the poetry and whatnot. It was just the first five books. And Christians like to rewrite Scripture to make it sound like something that, you know, that it's not. And Jesus, there's other things that are prophesied beside Jesus in the Old Testament. Mashiach ben Yosef was also prophesied, as well as Mashiach ben David ben Yudah, and that is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, our Savior, and our Mashiach or Messiah. But anyway, continuing on. Some of these predate Paul or Shaul, but most interesting is the fact that some versions of this have appeared in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Similar to other manuscripts, they contain much about the struggle between good and evil, good works, compassion, etc. Although these works have been considered worthy of a place in the Bible, they do give us some insight into Jewish and early Christian thought. There are also many historical events in the life of Yeshua or Christ or Mashiach of which we have no knowledge. John said, quote, "Many other signs truly did Yeshua, Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." And that's talked about in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 30. Those events would be of tremendous importance and worth to us now, but they are lost. And like, where is the teachings of Yeshua during the 40 days before his ascension after his resurrection? We don't have any of that. Wouldn't that be important to have in the scripture? Wouldn't we have so much more knowledge and understanding if we had that? But we don't have it. So John the Apostle gives further enlightenment on the loss of many teachings and important events in the life of Yeshua. Quote, and we're on page 59, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. John chapter 21, verse 25. Let me say something about that as well, and we might just have to end it at this point, because I've got something to say. Right? I've always got something to say. And it's getting really close to the end of the program anyway. Yeshua, according to the book of John, was with God and was God, is God. I am not a monotheist. I'm a polytheist. I know, because of personal revelation, but it is also mentioned in like Psalm 84 or 82, you know, God stands among Jehovah, or God the Eternal Father stands among the congregation of the Elohim, the gods. The Father is greater than the Son, yet Yeshua was also a God who is subordinate to his Father. His life predates the history of this world. He has done many great works before the history of this world. This world is not the first of God's creation, and it will not be the last. We know in the book of Revelation that there will be a new heaven and new earth, just for one. This history of this earth, the last 6,000 years, is not the history of all of creation. In the book of Bereshit, or Genesis, we have an account of the creation of this earth and an account of the creation of other earths. And I don't want to get into that topic today. But God did not just all of a sudden, 6, 7, 10,000 years ago, decide, oh, I think I'll create a universe and a heaven and an earth and Adam and Eve and all of this and that. Yeshua and Jehovah, two separate individuals, and God the Eternal Father, they're eternal, as are we. And Jehovah is our Elohim, who is under the direction of God the Eternal Father. And I'm sorry that there have been mistranslations and outright errors and lies written by scribes and whatnot, but I know, I have seen, that God, our Father, our Eternal Father, is eternal. And so is Yeshua. And so is Jehovah. And so, yeah, I'm a polytheist, and it is wrong, and it contradicts Scripture to be a monotheist. But we do have one God that is for us, and his name is Jehovah, and Yeshua is our Savior. And anyway, I'll leave that and end this program, episode 53 of Fundamentally Mormon, and do so in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Thank you for listening to this program. You can also find these programs at blogtalkradio.com/ The Kingdom of God or Nothing. And like I said, this program with the text that I have read today will be at Zion's Redemption Radio. Zion's Redemption Bookstore on Facebook. It's a page on Facebook. Just check it out. So anyway, I'm going to end the radio program. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless and shalom.